Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we delve into the Word of God. We would also invite you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast on Public Access Channel number 6 on your TV at 8 o'clock to 8:30, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs, a list of all of our TV programs that you can download and examine, plus a host of other Bible material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. We simply want you to come and study and worship God with us, and we hope that you'll take advantage of every opportunity to do just that. For the last few months, we have been examining an overview of the Bible. We've completed the Old Testament, and we are in the New Testament, and this morning, we're going to begin studying in the book of 1 Peter. Persecution and tribulation can cause bitterness of spiritual growth in the life of God's children. How we handle these situations determines the commitment we have or we don't have. Time will tell the results. Peter is writing to encourage these Christians to continue to conduct their lives in accordance with his teaching. A Christian's character and conduct must be in keeping with the character of God, calling us by the gospel to a living hope, incorruptible, kept by the power of God through our faith in Christ. God's children are to be under submission to all of his ways. Being a Christian does not immune us from difficulties in life. They will come, but a Christian must be prepared. This morning, we begin by looking at chapter number 1. In the first chapter, we're introduced to the author, Peter. The ones that are being addressed are the pilgrims of the dispersion and location. These are the ones that were sent out and scattered in the world by an edict of Rome. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, was working of the Godhead, and that is those who had been obedient to God's will are part of the elect by the terms that he established through his word. The themes and the purposes in chapter number 1, we can see in verse 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." We see the Christian has a living hope and an inheritance promised to him by God, a God that cannot lie, according to Hebrews 6 and verse 18. We can rejoice in hope, though we are persecuted, verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, it needs be you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that is, the salvation of your soul. What are the purposes of our trials and afflictions in life? They are testing us. They are preparing us. They are honing our skills that we might demonstrate the genuineness of our faith. And it's like gold that's being refined by fire. It's making us better. It's making us stronger. It's making us more determined and more committed and dedicated to serve our Lord. It also is preparing us for the other difficulties that will come along in our lives. And we need to be prepared for those things. And we can understand that the end of those things will be the salvation of our soul. And so we need to grab on to the fact that even though we have trial, God will see us through it. And through those trials, we can gain perception and perspective that will help us deal with life. In verses 10 through 12, It talks about the concern of the past prophets and even the angels of heaven. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to us, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us, that were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels desired to look into. We see here in verse 10 that this salvation that's been promised by our obedient faith was something the prophets have inquired and searched carefully for, and it was prophesied through those prophets that grace that would come through Christ that would be able to save all men. And verse 11 tells us the Spirit of Christ that was in those prophets, in them indicating when he testified beforehand that Christ would indeed suffer. We could read passages like Isaiah 53, Psalms 22. We're told in Scripture that he would suffer, he would die. We know that was going to happen, but we also understand that the glories that would follow because of that suffering. And then in verse 12, it says the gospel that was preached by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was written down in the Scriptures that we have was sent from heaven. It's divine in origin. It comes from God. It's his mind being revealed, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13. And even the angels desire to look into the completion and how all of it would come together in the internal plan of God. And then in verse 13 through 17, there's admonitions. Therefore, because we have this great salvation, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober, the rest of your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as you he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And so, because we have this great salvation, because this grace has been presented to us, then we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to get our mind centered and focused on the work and the spirituality of the things that God would have us accomplish while we're on this earth. And we can rest our hope on his grace that is to be brought, and we have it brought to us, and we understand it by the revelation of Jesus Christ that we can read in the Scriptures. But we need to be obedient. Verse 14 says we have to be obedient children. How do we do that? Well, one thing we don't do is we don't conform ourselves to the former lust. We don't walk in the flesh as we did in the past. We have a godly character. And that godly character is something that we're to grow in our understanding and our knowledge, and put into practice in our lives. And we're to live holy lives. We're to be holy in our conduct, in our manner of living. We're to be holy because he is holy. That just simply means that we're set apart. We're set apart. We march to the beat of a different drum. We march to the beat of the drum and the instructions and the guidelines of the Lord. Through his word, we have the instruction of how he would have us to live and what he would have us to do and how we can best be influences for good and examples of what godly living is all about, that we could help lead others to Christ. And then in the 17th verse, it reminds us that we can call on God because he is, does not demonstrate partiality. He judges according to each one's work. And though, therefore, since God's going to treat us justly and he's going to treat us fairly, then we need to conduct ourselves while we live here in fear. And that word fear means respect. We need to respect God. We need to keep him in reverence, and we need to keep him in awe. And we need to always respect him by demonstrating faithfulness to his word. And then in verse 18 through 21, we understand the cost of our redemption and our hope. Knowing this first, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We are reminded in verse 18 and 19 that we were not purchased and we were not redeemed with corruptible things. And he gives us an illustration, silver and gold. And the aimless conduct is our life without God, where we were not walking according to his word. And we were rescued from that. We were redeemed from that. We were bought back from that. By what? By the precious blood of Christ. Without spot, without blemish, the pure, innocent sacrifice of Christ upon the cross redeemed us, bought us back. We have salvation through that blood, according to Romans 5 and verse number 9. And his death on the cross and his sacrifice for sin was foreordained before the world began. Before God said, let there be light, he had already determined that he would save the world through Christ. And his son's death on the cross would be the remedy and the ransom price paid for sin. And that has been made known to us through the scripture. We know why and we know how. And by that sacrifice, we can believe in God because he raised him from the dead. He was declared to be God's son with power, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And so our faith and hope can be in God, and it can be secured, and we can be trusting that God will do everything that he says. The end of the first chapter gives us brotherly love. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures. We have purified our soul by obeying the gospel. We have cleansed our souls from sin by obeying the truth through the Spirit that revealed that truth. And now we have to conduct ourselves with sincere love of the brethren, with a pure heart. That means genuine. It means real. It means that we don't go through lip service. We don't give eye service. We love one another fervently. Verse 23 says, we've been born of incorruptible seed. That means the word of God. Read parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. And at the end of verse 25, we're told that the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is incorruptible. It is always going to be there. It is what we live by. It is the code of the conduct of our lives. It is how we conform and shape our lives to be in accordance with God's teaching, that we might be the kind of people that God would have us to be in order that we might demonstrate to others what it means to live for Christ. As Matthew chapter 5 in the Great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we are to let our light shine that others might see our good works and glorify our Father. Yes, the word of God endures forever. It will be the standard of judgment at the end, according to John chapter 12 and verse 48. Therefore, that word abides and lives forever, and it is the guideline to how we should conduct ourselves in this life. Remember, God is going to be fair and just, but we are going to be judged according to how faithfully we follow that word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day, and please come and worship God with us today. We hope you have a blessed day. Have a nice day.